There you go. So what we got, this is, man, I'm excited. We got our final summer speaker, and we're done with the Roman series. And, dude, I loved the Roman series. I don't know about you guys. There's something fun about just diving into God's word and getting to know him for who he is. And I love that. So, but I don't know if you guys have known, we started this last school year, so 2017-2018 school year, we started that with two interns, and one didn't survive. No, just kidding. One was JD, and he was brought on as the junior high director. So we started off as with two interns, and so what we got here is we got an intern that has given the last year of his life to this ministry, to you guys, and it's crazy because y'all know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Keegan and this fool. Yes. This guy, like, I will talk to him and I'll be like, dude, remember the time when, like, 3 years ago and this happened? He's like, I wasn't here 3 years ago. And I was like, oh, I forget. Because he just, like, jumped in and he has become a part of our community so quickly. And God has, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God has called him to this youth ministry over this time while he's been here. And God, I have seen, guys, the Keegan that I met over a year ago, and the Keegan that is going to be standing up on stage today are two completely different people. This is a young man who has been changed by God, who has allowed for God to shift his heart, to change his actions, to own his life, both in private and in public. And I've had the opportunity of having tons, dozens of conversations with him about life and what it looks like and what following God and what going into ministry looks like. And this young man has responded so powerfully. I want to tell you guys, he has the right heart. And so I want you guys to listen to the words that he has. I want you guys to listen to the heart that he speaks with, okay? Because he has a word, and I told him months ago, I said, Keegan, in August, I want you to preach your last message. And I want you to preach a message like, if you're leaving, what's the one thing that you want to leave students with? And so this is kind of a eulogy message for his last internship year. So I want you guys, go ahead, grab out your pens, grab out your notebooks. Let's get excited and let's welcome Keegan Jewell to the stage. Come on, Keegs.
So as you guys can see, there are things that normally are not on the stage. Don't let those become a distraction. You'll find out when the time comes what they're for. I know, that's going to be a tough distraction. Here, we'll just slide that behind it, because otherwise I would be distracted and I'm up here speaking. So here's the thing. One, I'm pumped to be up here. How are you guys doing? I know it's been asked a ton, but how are you guys doing this week? Yeah, I see some Flatland peeps here again tonight. Excited to have you guys here again. I know this is going to be a downer question, but has anyone started school yet? I know, it's a downer question. We've got a couple. Is anyone starting this week? What about next week? Does anyone start next week? I know. Like I said, it's a bummer question. All right, bring it in. Focus here. It's a bummer question, but at the same time, it's a great thing to happen because you've had all this time this summer, and now you get to launch into your school year with all of this we've been talking about tonight. And that's awesome. So just want to start off, like Pastor Drew said, this is my last message as an intern, but wanted to let you guys know, don't worry, you're not getting rid of me. I'll still be around as a leader. I know. Exactly. There we go. We'll have that conversation later and we'll talk about that. I'm not leaving. I'll still be here as a leader. You guys still get to hang out with me and get to know me some more. But this is starting my last week as my internship. And like Pastor Drew said, about the beginning of the summer, he came to me and said, I want you to give one final sermon as if you're leaving the ministry in August. And I prayed through it, thought about it. And guys, this is the word of the night. If you're taking notes, write this word down, because this is going to be the theme of the night. And tonight's word is this: expectation. expectation. And I just want to do something that Tommy did a couple weeks ago and just kind of walk us through what the night's going to look like. So we're going to start, we're going to talk through a couple sets of scripture. We're going to talk about what happens when we underestimate what God can do in our life. And then from there, we're going to move not only what happens when we underestimate what God can do in our life, but what happens when we don't expect God to move in a situation. And then from there, we're going to, all of these are going to be building up to our final main point of the night, which will be this: expect God to do more than you could ever imagine. All right, so there, like I said, there's our night in a nutshell. But let's just go ahead, and I'm going to start it off with prayer. So you guys pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this last year you've given me to this ministry, God. Thank you for your opportunity to speak just to everyone in the room tonight about what you have on my heart. I just pray that you would give us eyes to see what you have to say, God, and ears to hear what you have to say to us. And just let us just see you move in miraculous, amazing ways tonight, God. And I pray, amen. So like I said, our first point is talking about underestimating. So our point number one is this, if we can get it on the screens. When we, the other one, do we have the other one? It's when we underestimate God, we are putting him in a box. There we go. When we underestimate God, we are putting him in a box. So what I mean here is when we say, God, this is all I think you can do in a situation, it's saying, I'm going to put you in a box and say, that's all you can do. To demonstrate, as you guys can see, this makes a little bit more sense. We've got a box here. And this is the best part is, hey, Pastor Drew, can you come on up here again? We'll give you this. We'll give you some space down here. So we've got this box, as you guys can see, this nice, wonderful box. And Pastor Drew, I want you to get in this box where I can close the box. Don't break the box, though, because I need it for the rest of my message. All right, so please just try and, yeah, you might, I don't want you ripping anything. Please get in the box. Hopefully he's not secretly like a contortionist and he's like, psh, I got this, watch this. That's, okay, I don't think we're got to be worried about that. No, I don't think that's working. Nope. Like, please don't break the box. You can have one more shot. Nope. Because one more chance. You got one more chance to fit in all the way. See if, all right, so if you guys can't see, all he is able to do is get his knees in the box. And it's, all right, you can stand up. Give Pastor Drew a great big hand. That was something. But why couldn't Pastor Drew get in this box? He's too big. He's not a contortionist. He doesn't belong, right? Pastor Drew doesn't belong in this box. And so here's the thing, guys. If Pastor Drew's too big to fit in this box or doesn't belong in this box, then why do we try and put God and his power in a box? Am I right? How many times do we say, God, this is all I think you can do, so here's this box, in the box, God. And not only do we have that, but I've got a little bit more of a way that you guys may be able to relate to a little bit more, and that's coming from Scripture. So we've got Genesis chapter 15 that we'll be in, story of Abram. You guys may know him as Abraham, but at this point, he hasn't gotten his name changed from Abram to Abraham. It's a weird thing. God did it. That's a story for another time. But Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6 says this. So sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." But then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, "Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can." I love that. Count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. I love that. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. And here we kind of see this four-stage process, guys. The first stage is, you know, God promises. God comes and gives Abram this promise. And here we see in verse 1 that he says that it's this promise of, I promise. He even says here, he says, I will protect you and your reward will be great. And we find out later on that it's God saying, Abram, I'm going to give you descendants. And if you guys don't know what descendants are, pretty much Abraham and his wife are going to have many children, who will have many children, who will have many children, and on and on and on. And I could continue to go on, but I don't have that kind of time. But that's what it is. He's saying, I'm going to give you all these descendants. So God comes and he promises. But then we see stage 2, how it fits. And that's where we see it fit into this point of Abram underestimates God. We see that it says, Abram replied, O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Like, let's just stop there and realize that that's a pretty good, like, assumption. Like, oh, hey, Abram, don't worry. I'm going to give you all these descendants, all these children. And Abraham looks and he's looking at his situation and he's like, hold up, God, like, I don't have a son. I don't have any kids. How are you going to do this? Right? How many times do we do this in our own situation of God's like, hey, I'm going to work into your life in this certain way. And you're like, I don't know, God, like, I'm looking around. I don't see that, like, anything near what I can do. And we underestimate what God can do. And even more than that, like, he even says, because you've given me no children, like, the one thing that he needs for descendants, it's all going to go to my servant, so it won't even be my name. But then we see God explain in that third stage. He's like, no. He goes, your servant's not going to be your heir. And we see here the first part of the promise of, I'm going to give you a son. And that next part about having him go out and look up into the sky, count the stars, tells us two things, guys. The first thing is, one, it's obviously nighttime because there's stars. So obviously it's nighttime. The second thing, which is the more important thing, is God's seeing the bigger picture. When Abraham's looking and seeing the things surrounding him, he's saying, God, go in the box. You can't work in this situation. I'm going to contain what you can do. But God's like, hold on. You're not seeing this whole picture. And then we see that last part of Abram believes what the Lord can do. But still, like, the fact that God had to go through all these stages instead of him just saying, hey, Abram, I'm going to give you this promise of many descendants. And Abram's like, all right, yeah, God, I believe you can do that. And keeping the box aside, he goes, no. He goes, all right, God, you're getting crazy on me. In the box. I don't think you can do much. Get in the box. But we laugh, but how often do we do that? Even a more personal side of it is, I thought about having him come up. I'll be nice and I won't. But if you guys have been paying attention a little over a month, you've seen one of my parents around the church as he's working. But my parents, they're over there on the stairs. Hi, Mom and Dad. They weren't, at the beginning of the summer when Pastor Drew told me to, hey, think on this message, they weren't in Omaha. They were 2 hours west living in Aurora, Nebraska. But you see, a little over a month ago, it was about a Tuesday morning, I was getting ready for work, and I got a call. They're on their way home from Branson. And they're like, hey, so we're thinking that maybe, kind of, sort of, we should maybe start thinking about moving to Omaha. I was like, all right, yeah, that's cool. And then already by that night, I was talking to them. They're like, yeah, we're thinking about moving to Omaha. And I'm like, okay, that's a pretty big life decision. And a week and a half later, I'm getting a phone call, kind of talking with my parents. And they're like, yeah, we have to make a decision on if we're moving to Omaha or not. Because at this point, they had interviews that were happening. They were just like, we have to decide. Is this something we're going to actually pursue or not? And it would have been super easy for them to be like, you know, we're here in Omaha or Aurora. We have jobs. We have a house to live in. Like, God, that's fine. You may want us to move to Omaha, but we've got things figured out here. We're fine. But instead, they didn't worry about putting God in a box. They're like, all right, God, what are you going to do? And you guys, for those of you that know, my dad works here at the church, but he, 3 days before he was supposed to start another job is when he called that other job and was like, hey, I've got this other offer. I've got to take it. But he realizes what God can do through that. And the thing I think that explains it the most is having a conversation with my dad. And we were talking, and he looks at me and goes, there is more of a reason than being close to you kids and our jobs on why we're in Omaha. Pretty much, he's seeing there's a bigger purpose for them here in Omaha. Not just, okay, we're closer to our kids, we've got nice jobs, but he's seeing a bigger purpose. He can see what God can do through them in this place. So we've got that. We've got not underestimating God. And you see, guys, another reason we shouldn't is I've got another verse. We've got Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And it says this, now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. And that's exactly what we're talking about. When we don't underestimate God, this is allowing him, it says, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. So even here it's saying, you know, we may think that God can only do so much here, but when we leave him outside of a box and say, I may think this, but God, I know you can do so much more, it's allowing him to show up and allowing him to say, God, I know you can do this. I want to see it. Which leads us into our next point of, like I said, we just talked about how Abram underestimated God and tried putting him in a box. But now we're going to see later on in Abram's life how that works. Because our next point, as we saw, expect God to move, all right? When we don't expect God to move in a situation, we put him on a shelf. Can we get that other one? There we go. When we don't expect God to move in a situation, we put him on a shelf. And again, you guys can see where this is coming in. We've already got God in this box, and we're saying, all right, God, in the box, here you go. I don't think you can do any more than this. But more than that, we're saying, all right, God, I'm trying to limit what you can do, but also I don't think you can do anything. I don't expect you to move in this situation. So I'm going to set you on the shelf here. I'm going to go do my own thing. I'll come back to you when I need you. And as you guys can even see here, like this box is about to fall off this shelf because it doesn't go on this shelf. Just like God doesn't belong on a shelf or in a box. And again, we're going to see right here an example from now his name's Abraham. He's gone through the name change. If and I can have Isaac and my dad get over there and get ready. I've always said this, you can't have a kid named Isaac and like go to act out the story of Abraham and Isaac and not have him play Isaac. It's fitting. It's perfect. So as they get ready, I just want to give you guys examples of your own life. Of maybe you're going to school and you're like, hey, I'm going to school. God, you can stay on the shelf. I don't expect you to do anything there. Or, hey, I'm going to hang out with my friends. I don't expect you to show up. So you stay on the shelf. And so what we're going to do here tonight is I've read scripture. And I want to put a little twist on this next section. And so instead of me reading it, I'm going to tell it. And I want you guys to know this is not word for word from scripture. If anything, this is what I was telling Alan about this earlier. This is what I would call the Keegan Jewell paraphrased version. So that being said, we're going to tell the story of Abraham and Isaac, and they're going to act it out for us. So we've got Abraham, we've got Isaac, and so Abraham's doing his thing. In one moment, God comes to him and calls his name, and Abraham's like, yeah, God, I hear you. What do you want? And he goes, I want you to go and sacrifice your only son. I get that you love him. I get that he's who that promise is going to come from. But right now, I need you to go and sacrifice and kill your only son as an offering. And so the scripture says, Abraham's like, okay, sounds good. So the next morning, Abraham grabs Isaac, his son, two servants, and they get everything. And they're going, they're walking around, they're doing their thing. And then it gets to a moment where Abraham tells the two servants, you guys stay here. And we will be back. And so then Abraham and Isaac continue to go up. And Isaac's going and they're getting ready. And he kind of looks around and realizes that they've got the rope to tie the sacrifice to the offering. They've got something to kill the offering with. We've got the wood for it, but we're missing an important part, and that's the actual animal for the offering. And so he kind of like looks at his dad like, where is our animal here? But as Abraham looks at him and goes, God will provide. God will provide. And so they continue on up the mountain. They get everything going. They get the altar set up. And again, probably Isaac's looking around like, all right, when's this animal going to show up? And then Abraham, his dad, says, all right, on the altar. And not only that, his dad begins to time up and get ready for this altar and this sacrifice. And at this point, Isaac's probably freaking out, kind of going, what is going on? My dad said that God will provide, and God's not providing right now. I'm about to die. And even more than that, like maybe Isaac's like, all right, this is just a joke my dad's playing on me. You know, dads do that sometimes. But then Isaac sees his own dad, Abraham, lift up the knife, getting ready to kill him. And then this is where Isaac goes, oh, this is actually happening. This is real. And as Abraham begins and gets ready to bring the knife down, an angel of the Lord comes and he says, Abraham, wait. Hold up. He says, God has seen your faith and he's seen your obedience. And so he promises, pretty much promises that I'm going to follow through on this promise he gave you earlier. You are going to have many descendants and it's going to come through your son Isaac. But not only that, he says, here, the Lord has provided an animal for your burnt offering. And so Abraham unties Isaac from the altar. They get everything going and they are able to sacrifice the animal on the burnt offering. Can we give these two a hand? That was great. That was great acting. So, all right. So everyone bring it in again. But here's the thing. Like, that's fun to act out and it's fun to see. But there's so many moments there where we see Abraham on the outside expect God to move. First off, the fact that he goes along with this absurd plan that God has in his mind. Like, God, you promised me this son who there's going to be many descendants from, but now you're telling me to go and kill my only son? But he goes, you know what? I'll go with it. We're going to do this, expecting God to move. And then more than that, it gets to the point where the servants are stopping and staying at their spot on the mountain. And Abraham says, doesn't say, I will be back when we're done. But he says, we will return when we're done. And so maybe that's Abraham like, I don't want anyone to know that I'm about to sacrifice my son because it'll cause chaos or what. But the fact is that he said, we will return. And I think we see it even more when they're climbing up and Isaac says, God, or he goes, hey, dad, where's the animal for the offering? And then his dad says, Abraham says, God will provide. You see, Abraham knows the whole plan that God's told him. He says, I want you to sacrifice your son. That's what he knows. Isaac just knows, hey, we're going to sacrifice an animal like we normally do. And I'm looking around, I don't see an animal. But Abraham says, God, I expect you to move. So all throughout this, we see that Abraham is taking God off this shelf that we sometimes put him in, gotten rid of this box and said, God, here you go. Your plan sounds crazy. It sounds absurd, but you're going to move through this still. And you know what? When he expected God to move in that situation, God showed him how he could move. He kept God off the shelf. He kept God out of the box and said, God, it may sound crazy. It may sound absurd. I don't understand it, but I'm going to go with it. And God provided. And so again, we're talking about expecting God to move in that situation. And it's crazy to see the difference between Abraham earlier when we heard God say, I promise you that you're going to have descendants, and he couldn't see it, and he goes, what's going on? And he doubts him, underestimates what God could do, to now God saying, hey, that promise I gave you earlier, I want you to kill that son that's part of that promise. And he says, you know what? All right, God, I believe. Because you see, guys, when you can't see, believe. When you can't see, believe. And here we are able to see an example from Scripture of someone that saw, couldn't see what God was doing, but was like, you know what? I can't see. I'll believe. But I've got another story from my own life that shows the opposite of that. If you guys know me, if you know me well, you know that I've got an older sister, Paige. And if you know me really well and you've talked with me and you've gotten to know my life, you know that at one point in life, I had a younger sister named Haley. But you see, my younger sister was born with a disease called cerebral palsy, and then 6 months later diagnosed with something else called Reuben-Tabe syndrome. And so in and out of the hospital was a second home to us. It was normal for my sister Paige and I to wake up, have a family member or close friend there, take us to school. We'd go to school, someone else pick us up, take us to Omaha, where my parents were with my younger sister. And there was a day where I was in first grade, woke up, same kind of thing. Someone was there, took us to school. Oh, your parents had to take Haley to the hospital. But this day was a little bit different. About halfway through the school day, my sister and I got pulled out of school, taken to Omaha, where we found out that our little sister Haley, her body was starting to shut down. And there was three options that we had. The first two were they could try and do these experimental transplants. They're like, it could work 6 days, it could work 60 years. We don't really know. But because of that even, it was going to be super expensive and money we didn't have. And the third option was to just let her go and be with the Lord in heaven. And so they gave us 24 hours. My parents were able to pray about it, talk to my sister and I about it. And in the end, we're like, you know what? The best thing right now, like the option that really kind of makes the most sense financially, is to let her go. So as a first grader, I had my younger sister, Haley, who we're all expecting, like, yeah, she's got medical issues, medical troubles, but she's going to be with us our entire lives. Passed away, went to be with the Lord in heaven. And see, guys, at that point in our lives, our family turned our backs on God. And not only did we have God in this box, not only did we set him on a shelf, but we walked away from that shelf and we said, we don't want anything to do with you right now. And walked away from it and kept him on that shelf because we saw the situation and we couldn't see what was going on. And we decided instead to believe, we decided to say, God, there's no way. We don't expect you to do anything in this situation. But let me tell you this, guys. Yes, God can work in crazy ways, just like we're talking about tonight. But as I look back, I honestly don't think I'd be where I am spiritually today without that happening. And more than that, I honestly don't think that I would be here physically standing on this stage sharing this message with you guys tonight if we didn't have to go through that hard time. And so like I said, that was the time where we said, we can't see what's going on. God, we don't expect you to do anything. We decided not to believe. And there are times like that that we decide to do that. Like I said earlier, maybe there's times that you're going to school, like I said, and you're like, all right, God, I'm going to school. I don't expect you to do anything. Going to hang out with my friends. You can stay on that shelf. I'm going to sports practice. I'm going to worship. Whatever it is you do, I'm going there. You can't do anything. But you see here, guys, that's not how it should be. If I can have the band come on up. Because here's the thing, guys. There's going to be stuff in life that happens. Not only on those things, but maybe it's you're going through, you know, a relationship breakup. Or maybe, you know, you've got a broken hand, a broken bone, some medical trauma. Maybe your parents are going through a divorce. Maybe your family just had someone die and you're going through that. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Because we can do one of two things. Expect God to move in a situation or really be like I was in that situation and say, God, I don't believe what you can do. And yes, God will move through that. But how much more will God move when we say, God, I know something happened. I can't see, but I'm taking you off a shelf. I'm getting rid of a box. And I'm saying, God, I'm all yours. And if there's one thing I want you guys to remember from tonight, only one thing, if there's one thing, I want it to be this. And it's that last final point of expect God to do more than you could ever imagine. Because you see, there's times, even within Emanate, guys, if you've been with Emanate for a while, you've been to events like Unplugged. You've had conferences. You've done iHeart Omaha. Heck, it may be even just coming in on a Wednesday night service or a Sunday morning service that you have this encounter with God and you say, God, you're amazing. We get rid of the box, even. Just think of, for those of you that have been to Unplugged, you think, you go to Unplugged, you're like, God, you're going to do amazing things. And you expect that. But then you get home from these events. And maybe not right away, but around a week later, you bring that box back in and you say, all right, God, back in the box. And then maybe 2 weeks later, you say, not only am I going to keep you in this box, but I'm putting you back on this shelf. And you see, guys, if you were here through the Romans series or a couple weeks ago, you heard Carrie talk about this idea of changing your thinking. And that's exactly what this is here, is when you have a mindset of letting your surroundings affect you, that's going to be your mindset, is you're going to be like, all right, God, I'm away from that amazing, awesome experience I had, now back to putting you on a shelf. But when we're focused on letting God change us on the inside and work inside out, that's when we're going to say, I don't need a box because God doesn't belong in a box. I don't need a shelf because God doesn't belong on a shelf. But you say, I'm going to expect God to do more than I could ever imagine. So every day you're waking up going, all right, God, how are you going to show up to me today? How are you going to show up? How are you going to show your way to me in a whole new way? So like I said, the word for the night tonight is expectation. All right, we're expecting God to move. And even more than that, guys, I want you to know, we had Andrew come up and share a word earlier. And that was even before today. This was earlier today, before he knew exactly what tonight was going to be on, he had that word. Because he was expecting God to show up to him. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. So altar is going to be a little bit different of when I say so, we're all going to stand up and spread out around the room. But you guys stay where you're at now. And we're going to be praying and we're going to be expecting God to move in this room tonight. And it's going to be focused. It's going to be kind of, again, kind of an outside or inside out thing where we're going to be focused the first part of praying for ourselves, for God to show up to us, to align ourselves, like Andrew was saying earlier, with God's will. And then we're going to slowly work our way out to praying for others, looking for God to speak to us for others. With that being said, we're expecting God to move so much tonight that if you have a word for someone, go and share it to them. Go and give that word to them. If you have a word that you feel like is for the entire room, come find Pastor Drew and I. We'll be together. Share it with us. And we'll be able to help you figure, we'll be able to help discern, figure out what it is, and we'll be able to share it with the room. You'll get that opportunity. So, does that make sense? So I'll have everyone stand up right now. I'll go ahead and pray, and then I'll send you guys out around the room. And so again, like we talked about before, during altar time, respect those around you. But not only that, to help fit even something else into this is we're talking about expecting God to move. And how many times do we have an altar time and a response time where we're like, all right, God, I'm focused on this one thing. I'm going up to the altar for this one thing, and we're only expecting Him to fix that one thing we're going up for. Remove that thinking from your mind and say, God, I'm expecting you, yes, to do this one thing that's on my mind, but more than that, move in so many more ways. So I'm going to pray out to close the message, but then we're going to spread out and just expect God to move. So let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for tonight, God. We thank you for that word of expectation, God. And right now we just pray that we'd be able to hear you in a whole new way. That we would quit putting you in a box or putting you on a shelf, but that we would allow you to work. And we pray for you to work and move in this room tonight, God. I just pray expectation over this room. You might pray, amen. All right, so spread out and expect God to move. Thank you. can I get that first prayer point up there? If you guys are looking for something to pray for, pray this. Pray for God to get rid of, to break down, to dissolve that box that you've been putting him in, and to show up to you in a whole new way. All right? If you need something to pray about, pray through that.
I want to say, if you want to see God do something, break out of that box and do something that you've never seen him do before, sometimes you got to go somewhere you've never been. Sometimes you got to pray like you've never prayed before. Sometimes you got to move like you've never moved before. Sometimes you got to do something, whether it's worship all out or whether it's fall flat on your face or hands high up in the air, whatever it may be. But I want to encourage you guys, to step out and do something, go somewhere, pray something that you've never prayed before. Do something you've never done before. If you want to see God, if you're saying, man, God, I want to see you break out of the box in me and move through me, then go pray for someone right now. And start encouraging them, start praying for them, start asking God what does he have to speak to them? And whatever comes to mind, just start saying it. And if you feel like God needs to move through you in a way of surrender boldly. Give more up. If you need God to move through you in worship, get up on your feet, raise your hands, go all out, keep your eyes closed. It doesn't matter what anybody else is saying. But if you want to see God do something he's never done, you got to go somewhere you've never been. Say, look, God can speak to any one of you. God can move through any one of you. And I believe that, and I'll say it 1,000 times, I'll say it again, guys, God's using you. And I don't need for, if God has a word to give, He doesn't have to give it through me. He doesn't have to give it through one of the leaders. He can give it through you. And before service today, we had a student come up and say, "Man, I got a word, but I feel like I got to give." And it was a word about faith and faith in action through healing. And seeing this happen and saying, "Man, I feel like we got to pray into healing." Now I just feel like we got to pray into healing and pray into, for those of you who need healing, physical, mental, emotional, whatever it may be. But we got to continue to have faith for this. And if we're, and he had no clue we're talking about expectation today, right? Isn't that nuts? No clue. And so what we're going to do right here is we're going to, everybody stand up. And I want, just real quick, if you have any need that you need prayer over, whether it's a physical healing, whether it's emotional healing, or whether it's mental healing, restoration, whatever it is, I want you to just throw your hand up in the air. I just want to go ahead. Yes, come on. And what we're going to do, throw it up high. Don't bend your elbow, throw it up high. There you go. And I want everybody around you, everybody, if you see someone around you, go around them. Everybody in this room is engaged. Either they're praying or getting prayed for, okay? Everybody in this room is doing something right here. So keep your hand up. Keep your hand up if that's you, so that the rest of us, be looking around. Find someone. Where are you going to go? You got 3 seconds to go there. And we're just going to start praying. We're going to start praying boldly. Start praying radically.
Yeah, and even more on that, guys. As you guys pray, we're talking about expecting God to move, letting God move. And like Pastor Drew said, that sometimes means stepping out and going somewhere you've never been before. And so maybe as he's asking people to raise their hand for those who need healing, you don't even have to be specific about it to those that are praying for you, but say, "I need physical healing for this. I need some emotional healing in my life." Maybe you're one of those people, but you're like, "I don't want to step out. I don't want to say anything about it because I don't want people to know that I need healing." Forget that. Forget that mindset. Like we said, change your mindset and say, "You know what? God, you're going to move in this. I just have to take that step of faith and raise my hand and say, I need healing." So again, continue to pray for those that raise their hand. But if you are someone else that didn't raise your hand that first time and you need prayer for physical, mental, emotional healing, raise your hand, find someone, find people around you and say, hey, I need some prayer too. Because like we said, yes, God wants to move in us, but sometimes he's asking us to take that step to where we've never been before. So I'm just going to pray into that right now. And God, I just pray for the room right now, God. I pray for anyone that has physical, emotional, mental healing, God. I just pray that you would begin to break those chains, God, of that, remove just that pain, that hurt in their lives, Father God. And God, for those that are thinking about not saying anything, God, I pray that you would remove that wall and they'd say, God, I'm going to take this step of faith so you can move in my life. I pray for faith, God. You talk about faith that can move mountains. I pray for that kind of faith right here in this room tonight, God. We're praying through healing. We're praying for healing tonight, God. And I pray that our faith would be in action through that, that you would just heal around the room. Like I said, whether it's physical healing, whether it's emotional healing, or whether it's mental healing, God, whatever it is, allow people to be vulnerable and honest and take that step of faith and say, I need healing. God, heal me now. God, through your spirit, bring your spirit of healing in this room right now. And heal everyone that needs that, God. Bring healing into this room. Continue praying, guys. Continue to pray for those that need healing. Whether it's a person specifically right in front of you or someone around the room, still continue to pray. Just pray for healing. That's the theme. Yes, we're talking about expectation, but expect God to heal tonight. When we expect God to do big things, he's going to show up in a bigger way. Just like Ephesians says, he's going to do infinitely more than we can think or imagine. We just have to take that step of faith. Asking for physical healing, guys, whatever it may be, physical healing, if you can, if it's something you can test out, if it was, you know, a bum ankle that's been hurting you and you've barely been able to walk, whatever it is, whatever that physical healing you're needing, I want you guys to just kind of test it out. Check. Test it out. See how it is. And if it's still there, if it's still painful, that's right. That's all right. Continue to pray. Because it may not be that first prayer that works, but you know what? When we show faith in continuing to pray, then God will move. So like I said, if you had something physical that you needed healed, test it. And if it got healed, please come up, find me, share it with me. We'd love to just be able to celebrate that with you guys.
If you got prayed for, I want you up here at the altar. And I don't want you facing out, I want you facing in. What we're going to do is we're just going to worship. And if you received amazing supernatural healing, I want you to worship like you just received amazing supernatural healing. If you didn't, I want you to worship like God is faithful. And like you know that God is still here. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead, come on up. And what we're going to do, the rest of us, we're just going to back you up, okay? We're just going to back you up and we're going to be right behind you and we're going to be praying, we're going to be worshiping, we're going to be declaring in Jesus' name as well.
Yeah. And guys, we're talking about, you know, I said we want to celebrate those physical healings. But you know, Ryan, if you can come on up, man. I told Ryan I'd kind of share a little bit here with him. And again, let's have some people come up ready to pray for Ryan. After I share, we'll have him step down so people can pray. But Ryan just came up to me and told me, you know, and I'm not saying this to like make myself sound good, guys, but to show what God does. Because he came up, he said, you know, your message spoke directly to me. Because Ryan said he was in a pretty dark place. And was in a moment where he's just like, I'm ready to be done with life. I'm ready to be done. But you know what? God spoke to him tonight because he was ready to listen and to hear. And we want to celebrate that and just pray for continue. So Ryan, like I said, you kind of step up to the front. Let's have some people up here. I'll continue to pray. But let's gather around. Like Pastor was saying, gather around. Come up to the front. Put some hands on Ryan. We're just going to declare just victory and freedom over this room tonight. And God, we thank you for what you can do. We thank you for what you're going to continue to do, God. And right now, I just thank you for Ryan, God. I thank you for the power you're able to show in him tonight, God, of just breaking those chains of darkness away, God, and say, I have so much more to live for. I need to expect God to do more. And we thank you for that, God. We thank you for that healing. And I pray that we would continue to see that on and on in life, God. God, just continue to show victory in Ryan's life. Continue to show freedom in his life and in so many others, God. And for any other healings that took place tonight, God, I pray that we hear about them, that we're able to worship them and celebrate them, God. And we thank you for what you can do when we expect you to move, God. We thank you. We thank you for who you are and what you can do. In your name I pray, amen. Amen. So again, guys, exactly. Let's give a shout of praise to Jesus. That's awesome. That's amazing. Like I said, if you had other healing that happened tonight, come find a leader. Come let us know. We want to hear about these things, guys. We want to celebrate not only in those moments and after, but right now. So everyone stay up to the front. Come on up if you're not already. And here's what we're going to do. God moved in a way that we've been able to see in ways we may not know about. So right now, we're going to celebrate that, all right? So we're going to go back into worship. So like I said, everyone come on up. Get ready to worship. We're going to worship together in song and celebration. And it's going to be energetic. It's going to be fun. So like I said, come on to the front and let's worship together, guys. All right.
All right, let's celebrate together.
Like I said, on up to the front, on up to the middle. Let's get ready to celebrate and worship, guys. Like they've never worshiped before.
Get loud, get crazy. I love it. Let's start low. Get low. All right, let's go.
1, 2, 3. In my world, God, do it.
You've done. We thank you for reason to celebrate, God. You are so good. You are so amazing. And God, just let us expect you to move more than we could ever imagine in every moment of our lives. Get rid of that box. Get rid of that shelf. And God, say, my life's yours. I'm giving it all to you, God. Amen. Amen. Let's give another shout. Let's hear it. Awesome. So like we said, that's all we've got tonight, guys. Like we said, next week, no M&A will be upstairs. But 2 weeks is launch night. Get excited. Invite your friends.